to my fainting heart lies ill inspired. As thou hast died for me, O made my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire.
In life's dark maze I tread, and grief around me spreads. Be thou my guide.
Sufficiency of Christ's saviorhood. I want now to deal with preaching the sufficiency of Christ. Preaching Christ. Preaching Christ as the sufficient one. Preaching Christ as one to whom we cannot add any more thing. Preaching Christ sufficiently for men to encounter his sufficiency. So this night, and whether you are preachers in our midst or you are just young disciples that are growing, we have only one message, and that message is Jesus. Now I would like to raise few verses from Scripture dealing with preaching the sufficiency of Christ. And all the people that have affected their generation in a very significant manner, they don't have two messages. Are you hearing me? There are many entertainers on the pulpit. There are many motivational speakers who are perfected psychologists. There are great philosophers who are very, very versatile in setting out theories. There are many who have come to impress the audience because they like the crowd. But none of them contributes significantly to the kingdom of God. If Christ is not preached, you have not preached. You may occupy the pulpit, but every time heaven looks down, heaven says, "What is he talking about on my pulpit? Why cumbereth he the ground? Is that the message? Is that the word that will save souls? Is that what will set men free from their bondage?" And many, many times God said, "But why cumbereth he the ground? Why did he occupy space? And do you know how God protects the pulpit so much? When I was dealing with the Levitical priesthood the other day, I said, God gave it so much honor. Abi, God protected a ministry that was dying. God gave so much glory to the ministry of death. Paul said, how much more will God give glory to those of us that have been called to be ministers of the New Testament? Do you know God protects the pulpit so much? And maybe that's why you don't know what to do when you come on this pulpit. The pulpit is a sacred place. It's not a place for self-advertisement. You know why? You did not die for the people. How dare you become more known than the one who was crucified for them? How has it become that we are more popular among our people, the congregation, than Jesus Christ himself? This is absurd. And it's a crime against him who was crucified. And if we will ever contribute to a genuine revival, the kind that is not just a mere talk, the message must be preached again. Jesus must be preached. So you will first allow me to quickly do a panoramic analysis of the kind of preaching that brought revival in their day, before I now come back to now deal with how do we preach the sufficiency of Christ that can bring transformation, that can bring a turnaround, that can give to us the kind of conversion experience that many of you had when you started. You know, some of our fathers here, when you repented, you knew you repented. Am I correct? When you gave your life to Christ, there was no two way about it. What you received was too precious to throw it away. Do you know that when some of us repented, you were doing a business that runs contrary to this Jesus you receive? What did you do to that business? You put it aside. People say you were mad. They say your head has turned. And they dig your hand like that and say, we will see how far you can go with this foolishness of yours. And yet, you rejoice. You dance back to fellowship. You say, praise the Lord, I have thrown that rubbish away, that I may gain Christ. Am I correct? I watched in my very eyes how courtship of several years were dissolved at the preaching of the Lord Jesus. When the word of God came, the young man who is not clearly decided whether I want to go with Jesus or not, and the lady who he had been saying, I will marry. They even went to do family introduction, you know. But when the word of God, Jesus, was preached, and people were confronted, I saw such girls. Are you hearing me? Not even after they have traveled for months. No. From the meeting. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The boys I used to keep, I keep them no more. The boys I used to keep, I keep them no more. There is a great change since I met the Lord. Lord. Great change since I met the Lord. There is a great, great change. Oh, since I met the Lord, there is a great, great change. Oh, yes. There is a great change since. Then you hear another say, the lies I used to tell, I tell them no more. Oh, the lies I used to tell. Oh, I. The money I used to steal, I steal. Suddenly, you saw your worker. He came back. Say, sir, the money you were looking for, I was the one that stole it. Whatever you want to do to me, I can no longer hide. They say, what happened to you? I met Jesus. We were not many that time, but we were a trouble to the kingdom of darkness. Am I right? If there is a convert in an office, in the office of a palm sec, and this brother or this sister who has just met Jesus, are you hearing me? Is a typist. Do you ever think it is possible for palm sec to bring girlfriend to that office anymore? The typist that has met Christ. When the girlfriend comes to the office, you know, elegantly as they will normally dress, say, yes, it's your organ in. I know that sister will position herself. Say, Father, no unrighteousness must pass through my office. Light cannot be here and darkness will be reigning. Lord, Lord, I will shine the light. I will not keep my light under bushel. If I lose my job, let me lose it. I prefer to have Jesus than to have a job. Am I communicating? So you see that typist girl will welcome, say, yes, madam, we welcome you. And may I know what is the connection between my oga and yourself? And the way you are appearing like this, you know that this office is not an hotel. But I don't know how you are feeling, but I just want to give you this track. Where is your home? And before you know it, say, I have a very small song to teach you in the office. Tell me what's your home when you don't have Jesus. Tell me what's your home when you don't have him. Oh, tell me what's your home. Aha! Let me tell you. If that woman escaped, she will never come to the office again. She will signal the man. He said, there is a terrorist in your office. We were terrorists. We terrified the devil. We terrified sinners. Sinners are not comfortable when they meet a man who has met Christ. So the woman will write to your guy and say, please, there is a terrorist in that office. She so traumatized me. In fact, my conscience had not rested since yesterday. I'm not coming to your office again. If you must see me, let's arrange it somewhere else. Why will a palm sec be sneaking out to go and see a woman somewhere else? Because a child of God, unto whom Christ had been preached and who has Christ, is there. He doesn't need to have position. He doesn't need to be a big man in the office. He only needs to have the light. What was the message that produced such people? That is not producing such people now. Why are we so many and there is no transformation? What was the message we were hearing that changed everything overnight, upside down? But because as the PFN, you decided that as you come and speak about the sufficiency of the saviorhood of Jesus Christ, I thought you want us to do something serious. Abi? I thought you want us to return to biblical Christianity. Is that what you want? Aha. So, that's why you see me do what I'm doing. So, let's look at what was the message that turned their world upside down. How did they preach it? And if we also should return, in fact, I just want to say, if we can start to preach 20% of that message, automatically, you will see revival. You will see change. You will see young people weeping here. You will see liars coming out. And I've seen that all the time. I'll tell you one funny story. It wasn't funny when it happened, but now when I look back, it amuses me. I had gone to Abba to teach the word of God. And I was emphasizing walking in righteousness. Me, I didn't know. The man that was ushering me, can you imagine as he used to come and carry me from the hotel and bring me here? There was a man like that assigned to be carrying Brother Gwile up and down. Are you getting me? So, and our discussion had been nice. He was a good man as far as I can see. Ignorant man like me. Let me tell you, a preacher is ignorant if you don't preach the gospel. The gospel is the light of a preacher. A preacher that is not preaching Christ and Him crucified, are you hearing me? Is a man without eyes. You will see people. In fact, the way I see you singing, it bothers me that you don't have eyes at all. I can see all over you the glory of the Lord. How could you see glory over a wicked man? Where are you seeing glory over a man who is walking contrary to the Lord? You are not seeing very well. So this man was carrying me up and down. So, and they sat in the congregation after he had settled me and I'm now to preach. And in those days, when I'm preaching, I want to illustrate. And I saw this man sitting with a woman whom I supposed to be his wife. Are you getting me? So I just went and said, ah, thank God, like this brother. But let me ask you, this woman that you are sitting with, is he actually your wife? Me, I'm just illustrating, no. Nobody sent me. Then there was a shivering. Something shivered. Then the woman that we thought was a wife started being jittery. And I was hearing him say, God has pointed me out again. He has arrested me now. What shall we do? I gave altar call. She came out. But the man could not come. Because he's a big man in the meeting. And he is my chief protocol. How can the protocol of the man of God be answering altar call who will carry him back home. You see, you know there are many positions you give people that jeopardize their lives. Some people will go to hell officiating, you know, because there are issues in his life, it's not settled. But we have put him in a place where he could never have opportunity to repent. Am I communicating with you? This message that brought revival, we must preach it again. And we must not be apologetic about it. So when the meeting finished, I decided to sit a little for counseling. And there was this man that said, and then he went and dragged the man. He said, come. Let's go and see the man of God. Today we are hearing the truth. Tell him what is the matter. You also know I'm not your wife. Your wife is in the house weeping. Even as we were coming out this morning, I saw her face red with tears. I have been a thief. I stole this woman's husband. And you are parading me here as if I am the correct. Me, I want to go and pack my load from your house now. I'm not following you home again. Go and meet your wife. I want to go to heaven. You don't need to set committee when Christ has been preached. It's the omission of Christ and the conviction of his power that is making us to spend so costly time setting up investigation committee. They didn't do that in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, nobody set a committee. As they were coming in like this, the man of God looked at his face and said, Ananias and Makabo, welcome. Is this all you sold? The land? Here. Because our own eyes are no more sharp. Liars. Those who embezzle money, they are coming here. They will dance one leg forward, two legs backward, shake their body, and then drop something. And then say, let's give Jesus a clap offering. For where? How do you clap for a thief? They only ask him, is this all you sold it? And then the man of God looked at him and said, Abba, why do you tell lies to the Holy Ghost? When the money is in your pocket, who asked you to bring it? We don't need money here. But to come here and be telling lies, you have not done well. He has not finished speaking. The man of God has not finished speaking. When Ananias, and he gave all the ghost. And the service did not stop. Were there no police that time? Talk to me. Were there no police that time? Why didn't police arrest Peter? The matter is not police. The matter is higher than any constitution. This is a matter of with God. When men of God decide to preach their God the way it should be preached, I hope you know that the church that is operating under the authority of Christ is higher than anything in this world. But we have become subject to manipulation, not because we are not intelligent, but because we have abandoned our message. Because what makes us unique, we are no longer talking. We are speaking as if we are ordinary psychologists who looks at people and say, let me make them happy. That's not our call. Hallelujah. So at the end, The woman said, I'm not following you again. The matter became serious. The pastor, the presiding pastor, he looked at me and said, Brad, believe. That's why we don't like to invite you here. You have scattered the thing we have been putting together. This is one of my best men here. How did you see that it is not his wife? I said, I didn't see it. I actually greeted them as husband and wife. Until he who sees the secret of the heart of men began to speak. I'm not the one who, don't blame you. I'm not the one who. Meanwhile, the woman went and packed. And the mama, the owner of the house, weeping, came out. I said, you mean the truth is still in the church? Said they were serving him Holy Communion. And they knew that he was my husband, but he's taking Holy Communion with a strange woman. Where is the truth in the church? So permit me to share with you what was their message that brought revival. I'll just do a general panoramic analysis, then I'll come and settle down. Can I do that? God will help me. Now, do you know that right from the day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost was a great day when the Holy Ghost came down. Many times, those of us that are Pentecostals, we misunderstand the purpose of Pentecost. We never remember that Jesus said, when he comes, the Holy Ghost, he will not speak of himself. He will only testify of me. Any anointing that comes on your head that obscures Jesus and does not centralize Christ as the one that you stand up to testify and preach is a fake anointing. It's an anointing that creates annoyance in heaven. Because the very essence of the Holy Ghost coming was not to talk about himself. Was not even to talk about the vessel that he was using. Was not even to talk about the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle. No. It was only to point at Jesus. When we will be fully anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, we will preach the gospel of Jesus fully. Am I communicating with you? So, as soon as the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, you know he didn't plan to preach. Do you remember? They were just in the upper room praying for the Holy Ghost to come. Suddenly there was a mighty rushing wind from above. Hallelujah. And he sat on each one of them. And then they were speaking in these unknown tongues. But people that were everywhere, they heard their noise. And they started running. What is happening? Is there fire in that house? Is there fire in that house? Only for them to come and saw these people praying, praising God in diversity of tongues. But the miracle that day was that everybody that came from every nation under the earth, they heard them speak in their own mother tongue. Are you hearing me? So, the coming of the Holy Ghost, if I may quickly tell you, was to make it possible for people to meet Jesus in their mother tongue. If we have been well anointed, The Holy Ghost wants to release and introduce Jesus to all men to such a point that in their very mother tongue, they will hear the word of God praising and elucidating Christ, the man of Calvary. But look at the Bible. They say they are drunk. And Peter says, men and brethren, we are not drunk. Then that's how he opened his mouth and began to speak. I was wondering, when did he prepare this sermon? Where did he get this kind of utterance? Men of the Holy Ghost, moved by the Spirit, they speak of Jesus without hindrance. I want you to pray for that anointing. I want us to say to God, don't let us finish this conference going with bunduku heads. Don't allow us. Don't allow us, oh God, to go with ensigns rather than signs. Don't allow us, oh God. You are too precious to be doing casual things. We are too many here. And God is, why should God find it difficult to flow through me and you and change our land and confront young people and drag them on their knees? Why is it like this? As he opened his mouth. Now look at Acts chapter 2. Because it's a long sermon, I cannot undertake to read it to you. But you will note in verse 22. Verse 22, Acts 2:22. Look at him. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. That's the substance of what he preached on the day of Pentecost. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You guys, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. Was that message confrontational? Was that message begging the question? Did you see where his finger is turning? To which people now? The Sanhedrin, the senior people, the religious leaders. Oh my God. May God make you a bold preacher. Yeah. A preacher that does not look at people's eyes before you speak. You can't be on the pulpit and be a man pleaser. Why does your message change? Because a big man has just entered. Is it so that you can collect what is in his pocket? A man whose heart has not been pierced, how do you want to open his pocket? Why is there so much respect of persons in our own time? Pentecostals that has the power of the Holy Ghost. When we were Orthodox, I will see Ogboni fraternity. They are coming, they will sit down like this in their regalia. They come to church with their regalia. And their head, bad head like this. And their go-go dish. They just come in. They themselves, they are a terror to pastor. When a pastor wants to stand up, he said, my Lord, temporal, my Lord, spiritual. I wonder why you have to do protocol to preach the gospel. There is so much I want to say, but with due respect to honorable men here, I will just cut everything short in righteousness. God loves everybody, and there's no problem with anybody. I even really appreciate that you find time to come to church. These are very busy people, and we don't like to waste their time. Can you imagine what you are saying in your mouth? A man who is on the road to hell, that God dragged to hear you speak. You are saying we don't want to waste their time. Where was he going that you know? Why do you think they have done a favor to God, their creator, to come here? And why do you think you, a man and a mouthpiece of the Lord Almighty, an ambassador of the King of Kings, the Yoruba man says, the man that sends you a message is the one you fear. You don't fear the man to whom you deliver it. Why? And then you change. Then at the end, you reduce everything 15 minutes because the man must give a thanksgiving offering. Then you say, yes, Chief Shugbemi is in the house. When we were there and they were doing that, we were feeling annoyed. We were sensing, God, if you give me power, I will do something. Now God has given you power. What are you doing? Are you not doing the same thing? You said they didn't have the word of God. They didn't have the word of God. You have the word of God. What are you doing with the word of God in your mouth? Right on that day of Pentecost, a fisherman, his credential, if I tell you what is his credential in the midst of those people, who knows the credential they gave Brother Peter? A barbarian, unlearned, unschooled. Am I communicating? He had no certificate. No certificate, no degree, nothing. He grew from the riverside. Baba picked him from the riverside. The only thing he knew how to do was to do what? To throw his something and pull it. That's all he knew. But because he had been with Jesus, Jesus did not need to give him another education. I don't have a problem with education. And I want all of you to be educated as I am. I want you to get all your degrees. But let me remind you, not one degree is equal to one syllable of the gospel. When the gospel is preached, it turns you to a man of fire. Nobody remembers which school you went. It is when God's word is not in your mouth, they will say, excuse me. Which school of theology did he go? It's when there's no fire. May God make you a man of fire. May those who gather to query your qualification, may fire burn them before they will remember what they came to ask. When they already melted, they will run out. They say, man of God, brother, I'm in trouble. You must have my life. What must I do to be changed? What must I do to be saved? Say, repent and be converted. Whatever you tell him to do, he will do it. He will forget his PhD. Whether I was a professor or not, I understood what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If a professor is in labor room to deliver a baby, mom, does he go to the labor room as a professor? How does she cry? She cries like any other woman. In fact, village women are even stronger than her. She will be shivering like this. The village woman say, do, is always like that. No problem. Do. Professor forget their professorial chair when they are in trouble. Am I communicating? And every soul that has not met Christ is a soul in crisis. When you don't have Christ, you are in crisis. And how you did not see the urgency of souls. Have I said you should not respect people's qualification? Please respect them. But put fire on them. Please give them their regard. But don't leave the pulpit without fire. If I go to a place and I see all the cream of society and I've done all of that, governors have been sitting there, ministers, and some very big men, big business tycoon. You see them rolling in. And when they invited me one day to go and preach, and they were intimidating me with their eyes. Because, you know, I am tiny. I look ordinary. They say, brother. They say, brother. What is brother? Who is brother? Who is brother here? No problem. So I went. When I saw that they are looking at me too much, I said, let us close our eyes. And let us pray. So they closed their eyes. I said, Father! By the time they are opening their eyes, I have brought out my message. Before they can consider which school he went and what did he say or not, something is hooking. Then something was happening. Then I was hearing that. Yo! If you come from our area, you know when anything, say, yo! That when something is hitting somebody, the whole place became quiet. And I heard God say, draw the sword. Who is a correct fisherman that goes to a fish? You put bait. Fishes are eating your bait. But there's no hook. Are you a correct fisherman? He said, draw the sword. I said, if we were anywhere else, how dare I talk to senior professors like yourself? But because we are before the Almighty God who knows you in and out and the problems that you are struggling with under your professorial garments, I demand of you today to honor the Lord who knows you, come out here and settle the matter with God. And they were all coming. And they were all crying. And they were all weeping. And since it's not me, I say, don't stand before me because it's not me. Kneel down before the Lord your maker. Before the Lord your maker. That's all. I thought they would be annoyed with me when we finish. So I quickly escaped. But they were looking for me. They said, we need to see that man. Nobody has told us this kind of thing. I want to talk to him. And one of my own old professors who ridiculed us when we repented, he called me and said, Bile, are you the Bile who used to be my senior? I said, yes, sir. He said, you have become my teacher now. You see, my head is full of knowledge, but I know nothing. Except for this message I'm hearing, I was going straight to hell. What can you do to help me? I'm ready for Bible study. I'm ready to be taught. Men are still ready to be taught. The hunger for reality has not stopped. But the message has changed. So you see, in Acts chapter 2, he said nothing else. You know me, I thought that he would have been spending time to do the exegesis of speaking in tongues. Those are the things that we, in our own misunderstanding, we divert ourselves to. Somebody will stand up and say, let us analyze all the seven classes of tongues. For what? What's the meaning of that? There is a Bible exposition about the number of demons that fell from heaven. And we need to do serious eschatological study on demonology and their classes. What does that mean? My master has never asked me to go and study demonology. You know what he said? Go. Cast them out. Whatever their class, whatever their name, whatever their activity, do what? Cast them out. That's my command. That's my mandate. So, if you are reading that passage, confrontational, and read very quickly with me. He said, him, verse 23, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by the edge, wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also by my flesh shall rest in hope. Is he quoting Bible? He's quoting books of Psalm. To preach who? To preach him. Permit me to say to you, every scripture has been given by inspiration of God to do only one thing. To preach who? Jesus. He said, you search the scriptures, for you think in them you have eternal life. These are they that do what? Testify of me. You know, I used to feel bad that men who preach Christ in the New Testament, they did not have New Testament Bible. The only scripture they had was the Old Testament. And they preach Christ from the Old Testament so accurately. And look at me here. I have Old Testament. I have New Testament. I have commentary. I have dictionary. I have everything. And I'm not able to preach Christ. What's wrong with me? What am I on the pulpit for? Why should God raise a man like me in my generation? Is it to waste this generation? And whenever people get to hell, this is my problem. When they get to hell, like that rich man got to hell. When he got to hell, his eye opened. He saw himself in torment. He began to cry, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to come and give me water. They say, sorry, sorry. There's not even a drop of water for you to cool your tongue in hellfire. I pray you will understand that in hellfire, there There's not even a drop of water for anybody to drink. Their hunger and thirst in the midst of heat is unquenchable. When they said, no, we can't send anybody to give, you have drank all your water on earth. There's no water here for you. The man cried. He changed his prayer. He wanted to sponsor a missionary. People have gone to hell that we did not preach to. And they are asking. They are calling. Father Abraham, I have 5 brothers. Joshua is the next that followed me. Sammy is one that followed him. And Adekunle is the third. Josiah is number 4. And number 5 is our little boy. And he has also grown old now. And he is Jedidiah. Now look at the problem. All of them, they are reckless. They are not hearing. I want someone to go from hell or from heaven to go and tell them a special message from me, their senior brother Davis, that I, Davis, the firstborn of their father, I have ended in torment. All the things I was eating and doing, giri-giri, and everybody think I'm enjoying. 1 minute, as soon as I got to hell, I forgot everything. Everything disappeared. I am now in torment. When I asked them how long, they said forever. Please, let Lazarus go and testify to my brothers and said, excuse me, don't follow me. Repent so that you don't come to this place of torment. That's why every man who went to hell is sending to their junior brothers. It's because you are not hearing the message from hellfire. If you are hearing what they were saying, you will have known that they are not resting in peace. They are actually crying. And if they had anything, they want to sponsor a missionary. Now listen to what they told the man. That's what is bothering my own heart. What's bothering my heart? He said, send Lazarus. For if any man rose from the dead and went to tell them that he saw brother David, their senior brother in hell, they will listen. And how Abraham said, son, even that is not possible. They have the prophets and they have the preachers. And in my mind, I'm hearing them say, people like brother Billy, they are there. Bishop Ransom Bello, a fiery preacher, they are there. Let them hear them. If they cannot hear brother Billy, if they cannot hear all the preachers, even if somebody descended from hell and from heaven, they will not hear. So please, let them hear them. Did you see what I'm hearing? All the way from hell, somebody is protesting. He says, excuse me, the way they are preaching, they are not letting people know the danger that I'm falling now. He said, let them hear them. We cannot replace them. They are the one. They have been given the message. They have been given the space. Let them hear them. Can you imagine God telling people in hell that there's no need for replacement of you? Let them hear you. And you are just standing around talking nonsense. Is it correct? Brother, is it correct? How can you have The only drug that will deliver people from dying. You are the only one that has it. And everybody knows that the key to that drug is in your hand. And then somebody is dying. And they say, if only you can get him, he will not die. And then they trace you. And you say, yes, I actually have the drug and I have the key, but I am busy. I will not have time now. And let nobody worry me. I'm doing something else. Let me ask you. If the man died, will they pardon you? You are not talking to me? Will they pardon that man that has the drug that could have saved souls? Did you think heaven will pardon me and you for appearing to be busy and not bringing the drug, the panacea for the salvation of souls? Whatever you are busy about, I was now imagining how that man said, well, you know, before I come, I need to really, because I need to dress up. Then he went and sat in front of his mirror 2 hours, adjusting his tie and checking and all of that. And when the man had died, he now came with good suit. And I said, yes. And he's speaking Finnish English. Because sometimes when I listen to some of you, I don't know how many years you spend abroad that we are not hearing what you are saying again. I don't know whether you want to daze the congregation that are dying with American English. You know your people will not hear anything if you don't speak plainly. And say, well, yes, sir. In God, in far, what is the meaning of it? I'm sorry. Am I offending you? Please pardon me. You can speak your slang, but when there is danger, nobody speaks slang. When someone is in a predicament, you don't joke with empty words. You say it as clearly as you can because you don't want them to miss the point. Whom are you trying to impress here? So, by the time the man finished what he was saying, let me show you the result. I'm just looking at the preaching that brought revival. And they preach nothing else but Christ and Him crucified. Men and brethren, verse 29. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. How dare you say our highly revered King David is dead and buried? That's when a man is speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He's not afraid to step on highly revered personalities. That whenever you want to call David, they say, Oh, David. Mm-mm. He said, let me freely speak to you, men and brethren. David, the patriarch David, he is both what? Dead and buried. Sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seen this before. Spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, as God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended to heavens. Don't be confused about that. But he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Did you see that they were quoting scripture? Copiously. Only to preach one thing. What are we to preach? Him. To preach Jesus. If you are a brilliant preacher, if you know many Bible passages, your knowledge of Bible should not distract us from hearing Jesus. All references you must make must be the one that alludes to him, because nobody must hear anything else apart from Christ and him crucified. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. I hope you know that is Psalm 110. Am I right? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. And you killed him, but God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now look at the Bible. Now, when they heard what? This. Brother, people must not hear 2, 3, 4, 5 things in my mouth. When people don't have to hear a singular emphasis, their responses are scattered. Are you getting me? If people are sitting down and all through your discourse, there's only one issue that you are raising, when they are going to respond, they respond to that one issue. When they heard this, verse 37, look at what the Bible said. They were what? May I tell you? Correct preaching. All of you, are you hearing me? Those of you that want to be correct preachers. Correct preaching pierces. Correct preaching pricks. Why? He said the word of God is what? Is a sword. A more sharper than two-edged sword. If you have read the Bible, have you read the Bible before? In Hebrews chapter 4, I think verse 12, it said, for the word of God is what? Is quick and active, powerful and living. What does it do? Somebody should read it for me. Hebrews 4, 12. Let's read that so quickly before I go away from there. Who is reading? For the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Begging, robbing, joking. You need to answer me now. That you bring the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, said, pierce. Could you pierce somebody and he'll be laughing? Talk to me now. Somebody is sitting cool like this, and suddenly this sword just came. Pim! That was the result. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And this word of God is a discerner. It's better than scan. When they use the word discerner, they are talking of MRI. Am I communicating with you? It says a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is not acceptable to anybody, when the word of God comes, it goes there, pew, 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 pew. Before you know it, somebody is uncomfortable again. Somebody is shaking, saying, "Hi, I'm wounded. Hey, I'm wounded. Ah, that brother just scattered my life now. He has just scattered my arrangement now. Hey, I'm a liar. Ah, and I cannot hide it again." You will see yourself doing like this. Doing like this. Bro, what's happening to you? He said, "That message is making me restless." Correct preaching pierces. Don't preach a message that does not pierce. Are you hearing me? Don't prepare a sword that is toothless. It will be a caricature of the word of God. You see, Jesus spoke about this. Jeremiah spoke about this. You remember Jeremiah 23? He spoke about this. He said, "This prophet that go about telling stories, telling their dreams. Said, those who have dreams, let them tell them. Those who have my word, let them speak my word faithfully. Is my word not like hammer?" Every time I say, "God, your word is hammer, it breaks rocks." How am I a preacher? And stubborn souls, then when I finish preaching, they come and shake hands with me and say, that's a good, you're a good orator, a good orator. Oh, it used to pain me. It pains me. I can't sleep when I finish preaching. I know you did to come and say, "Bro, that's good. It's not good. It's not good. How do I carry sword? And my sword rather bent. And when it came to you, the sword just bent like ordinary rope. And you went the same. And you are happy to come and greet me. If I accepted your greeting, heaven will flog me when I get back. Say, is that what we told you to go and do?" You will pray with me tonight. There's a message that brings revival. Him. Now, as soon as they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, "You know, I don't know how I have a desire in my heart. I prayed for this desire over and over again many, many years. I say a correct preacher must never finish. He must always be interrupted. Are you hearing me? What am I saying? That people will not see what they need to respond to. And then they will package me. And then they are going home. Chatting." He didn't finish when the people interrupted him. Did they interrupt him? They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Where is that question coming from? Where is it coming from? From the congregation. It's the congregation that was crying out. "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And you know the brother is very sharp. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, what happened to them? Were baptized, and the same day, how many was added to them? 3,000 souls were added. You know, we have done great crusades. We spend millions. And that's my problem. We spend millions because we have millions to spend. But we have no message to help men. It bothers me that we spend so much. Then when the time comes for preacher, for the preaching, he greeted everybody first. He danced around. Are you hearing me? And when he was to bring the message, he forgot to draw the sword, but called for money. Called for offering. Is that why you were raised? Were you raised to go and raise offering? Did you not hear the Bible say, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you? Do you know that a correct preacher who is preaching the word of God lacks no finance? This is our testimony. When you are preaching the word in your that God has put in your mouth, forget about your food. Say, your Father in heaven knows that you have need of these things. A laborer is worthy of his meat. A laborer. You know, when you are reading your Bible, you have to read it carefully. What did he say? A laborer, not a joker. A laborer. If I see you laboring, you know, in our local language, call it ilebira. Eh? A man who is working assiduously is worthy of his meat. Houses will be built for him. People will park cars and say, Baba, you have been taking too much. God will not allow us to sleep. We can't be riding our car when you are still trekking. So they will bring cars. We ride cars. Oh. We live in houses. Oh. People will finish building their house the day they want to enter. Baba in heaven will go and confront them. So you want to stay in your own house. Brother Billy had nowhere to lay his head. You have to do two things. You either surrender this or agree to go and build a roof over his head. Me, I'm sitting where I'm sitting. Somebody is not allowed to sleep by God. Say, sir, you mean you don't have a house to lay your head? I say, and I'm not complaining. How many years will I spend here that I will be looking for a house over my head? My master have not. He said, no, it's not like that. Jesus never allowed me to sleep. He said, we must find a house for your head. They are begging me, can you please take this money and help us find land? It is our responsibility. You preach prosperity that has no direction. See how many years you have been begging and levying your church members to give you money. You stop preaching. You have stopped preaching. That's why money is running away from you. If you seek the kingdom of God first, these things will follow you. In fact, they'll be running after you. And you will not even have time to look back, because where you are going is too serious. May God help me and you. So, when you go to chapter 4, they preach Jesus. The only persecution they had said, we don't want you to preach this name again. And Peter said, how can? We can't do that too. In chapter 5, they called them, where are you turning the whole world upside down, preaching this Jesus? Now, someone should turn to chapter 5 and read the last verse. Acts 5 and the last verse. The last verse should be something like verse 42, isn't it? Let me read it from verse 41, 42. I need someone to read it loud. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to do what? To teach and preach sermons. What are they preaching? Jesus. If we don't teach and preach Jesus, all that he died on the cross to do will be wasted. The early men, they didn't preach anything else. They didn't preach other doctrines. They didn't preach topics. They preached him. Him. Hallelujah. Chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Excuse me, what did he preach? And he preached Christ to them. Did he preach how they were suffering? Eh? Did they get there and say, man, things are tough. Things are tough. As you see me here, I've not eaten for 10 days. We have been running from one mountain to another mountain. Things are not easy. And I just want to tell you that things are very difficult. And all because we believe things are just tough. And if any of you is around to help the man of God, do something. Do something. Eh, Pastor, tell your people to do something. Is that the message? Again, I see some of you who say you are missionaries. When you come, you are not preaching Jesus. You are only telling stories. You call it mission statistics. Is that the message? Many, many things we have done that obscured the sufficiency of Christ. Do you know that if you come back to a congregation like this and they gave you 5 minutes, 5 minutes is too long to preach who? Jesus. To testify of Jesus, you will see a change. You will see hearts of men broken. You see people say, we would like to follow you. We also have to follow you. You will recruit missionaries. And it will surprise you that people are waiting to hear the message. May I live at that point? You can go on and on. So now I now want to take the thing I want to end with. I say I'm just starting because I'm about to stop. Now, in Romans chapter 1, can we all, now this is going to be a little bit of study, and once I finish, I will be ending with one or two verses, and me and you we shall rise. You will leave this conference with a determination to do nothing else than to preach him and him crucified. In verse 16, maybe I should start from verse 14. This is Paul giving personal conviction of his life. I am a debtor. I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am do what? I am ready to preach what? The gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now I want you to see the gospel that he was to preach. For I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want you to pause, just pause. There's a few words that I'm touched about and I want to raise with you. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I was saying, what does he mean? Can a man grow gradually to be ashamed of the gospel? Can a preacher ordained and anointed gradually become ashamed of declaring the gospel? And I tell you, very much possible. Sometimes you think that if you stand out to preach Christ and him crucified, it appears foolish. It makes you appear as if you are not thinking. So rather than declare that simple gospel, that Christ died for your sin and rose again for you to be delivered, and that without his name, you will go nowhere. To stand and declare that gospel, you feel that people will say, I'm not thinking. So instead of preaching Christ, because you think it's too simple, you now make your message so elaborate. You now start talking. And according to Socrates, in 18th century, and this is what he said. And then I met another scholar. And this scholar is of the 19th century. I think he's a German. And this is what he said. And then, even as late as 20th century, in the early 1930s, I met another man. Can you imagine you? All of those men you are quoting, are they Jesus Christ? What do you want sinners that are going to hell do with those men? Except that something makes you feel that if I should just preach Christ, people will think I'm not intelligent. They will think I'm not scholarly. They will think that I am just ordinary like that. That's why you want to produce a scholarly paper. Excuse me. The pulpit is not the place where we produce academic paper. If you want to do academic paper, go to the university and be talking to them there. When we come here, this pulpit is a place to declare the oracles of God to souls of men that are in dire need. We didn't need all your scholarship. We need the word of God. But because you are ashamed of the gospel, you think the gospel is a reduction of your integrity. You know, I'm saying this, you may think, Brad, believe what are you saying? I know what I'm saying. I know there are places you go People have so highly regarded you. They have really introduced you. They have spoken so big about you. And they are saying, this man has something to say. Something to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the erudite orators of our generation is here. Whenever you hear him, you dust your feather. And it's our great privilege to have him here address this body. I tell you, people pay great prices to go to where he is. You know what they have done? They have set you up so that you can deny your Jesus. Because after they said all of that, could you just come up and say, ladies and gentlemen, let's forget all those announcements. Only one thing is needful. Christ and him crucified. And I don't care about what you know. And I'm not interested about how much knowledge you have. If you don't know him, you know nothing. Ah, scholars say, is that what he's going to say? And they say he's going to give us a scholarly presentation. But when you are ashamed of the gospel, they have made you feel that you will be too simplistic to just preach the gospel. So you now make the word of God sophisticated and complicated and polluted. Many of all those references you are quoting, they are not part of the gospel. That is the kind of thing they are quoting in seminaries, and it became symmetry. Those of you that went to seminary, when you were going there as a firebrand, when you were coming out, did you come out with anything? They killed you before you left. What is it that killed? It's a message. So when you have read Raven Hill, he said the letter kills. And he wasn't talking by himself, only quoting the Bible. So, brother, I want someone to help me. Romans chapter 1.
So, I am eager to come to you in Rome.
Yes.
To preach the good news.
Yes.
For I am not ashamed of this good news.
I'm not ashamed of this good news.
About Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It is the power of God at work.
Mm-hmm.
Saving everyone who believes.
Yes, sir.
The Jews first.
Yes.
Also the Jews.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Another version says, I have complete confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in it that men are shown how to be made right with God. Have you lost confidence in the gospel? Have you lost confidence that it is by the simple preaching of the truth that you are converted? Have you lost confidence that there is a power embedded in the gospel? Actually, let me now tell you, one of the misunderstandings between me and you all the time is that we are looking for power. Many of you are looking for power, arbitrary power. Sometimes you come for a meeting like this, somebody just said, let's close our Bible, let's close our Bible place. This is power. We want to deal with power. 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 Hallelujah. Power. Everybody say power. Power. Say after me, power. 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 Power, 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 power. You know that's a psychologist. When we are doing psychology in those days, that's what we call stimulus response therapy. when you want people to start acting outside their senses, keep dictating something for them to be saying without thinking. So I'm just repeating after you, repeating after you. A time will come, they will not think about what they are saying again. No. Friends, let's return to the word of God. It said, for the gospel, look at the Bible, read it again. The gospel from my King James said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. May I say to you, when I'm preaching the gospel, when I'm preaching Christ, there's power. The power of the gospel is not the power of feeling. Power, power, power. I say, keep quiet. Stop confusing ignorant people. This is what I call manipulation. Because we are not reading the Bible. What does the Bible say? The spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. You can't be telling me here that there is one spirit that came on you that is not subject to you. You are a liar. God did not ordain it like that. Otherwise, spirit will make us mad. It's mad people that do something that they don't know how to do. If you see a madman, he is going out naked, but he did not know that he has not dressed. He's opening his mouth to speak, but he did not know what he said. That's a madman. Holy Ghost doesn't make us mad. When you have received power, that power is subject. You know how it works. And you know when it is operating. And you know for what purpose. The gospel of Christ is what? Is the power of God. Excuse me, sir. Every time you preach the word of God, there is power. Power to heal. Power to save. Power to set men free. Power. It's because he has not been preached. That's why there's no power. And that's why you are always looking for extra power. You have not preached. Go and try what I'm telling you. Preach Christ and him crucified. You will see instantaneous manifestation power. Power that saves souls. Power that delivers them from darkness. Power that heals. Sometimes we are just preaching and teaching Jesus. Nothing else. So somebody will just say, sir, it has disappeared. I say, what has disappeared? He said, the thing disappeared. The thing disappeared. I said, it has disappeared. But because what disappeared is not the issue. The man I'm preaching is the issue. I say, okay, if it has disappeared, keep quiet, sit down, follow the word of God. It's not that we don't like testimony. It's not like we don't want to convert meetings to meetings where people are just telling stories. 1,000 stories, as wonderful as it is not equal to the message. Am I communicating? But let me tell you now, they went everywhere preaching the word. And God walking with them, confirming the word with what? Signs following. Signs will follow when we preach the word. It is the word that God confirms. It is not your wishes. Sometimes you came on the pulpit, you have not preached the word. You're only announcing your wishes. You're only saying, yes, yes. Yes, there are people here. You will go home blessed today. Say amen. There are people here. Everybody say your own is finished, but I tell you it does not finish. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell somebody it has not finished, has not finished. Is that the word of God? You have not preached. You're only making empty announcements. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew, for the Greek, and for anybody at all. For the Muslims, when they hear the word of God, Christ preach, something happens. They may do like this, but they can't sleep in the night. And we have seen conversions. But because it's not about announcing, they are quietly turning to the Lord when they hear the message. But problem, they hear noise, unclear noise, and Christ was not preached. The last verse that I want you to turn to, because he is dealing with a matter here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. So let's now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Will you go to verse 17? For Christ did what? Sent me not to baptize, but to do what? To preach the gospel. How could you say that? Didn't Jesus say we should baptize? Eh? But the priority. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Are you understand? Those who believe and baptized. Was our primary calling to go and baptize? Was our primary calling? Preach the word. Paul was only setting his commission clearly. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. It's a very big problem. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made what? Of none effect. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Nor with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Where's the good news? Please put good news for me. Put NIV. Let us quickly check. Christ did not send me to baptize. He sent me to tell the good news. And to tell it without using the language of human wisdom, in order to make sure that Christ's death on the cross is not robbed of his power. Every time you preach and you shroud the gospel with many high sandy empty vocabularies, you know what you have done? You have robbed the cross of his power. It pains me that we like high sandy terminology. High sandy. We like to say things that are something, something, G. Something, 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 G. Something, something. Instead of say, today we want to speak about Christ, he said, let's deal with Christology. We want to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, oh, he said, we are dealing with pneumatological studies. What is the meaning of that? Why are you so complicated? So that people will forget the man of Calvary. I, Sandy, we want to talk about salvation. The standard said, we are dealing with the soteriology, the soteriology of Jesus. What's the meaning of that? Who knows the meaning of that now? Why are you going to Greek? If God wants all of us to become Greek, He should have been speaking Greek to us. I told you on the day of Pentecost, everybody heard the gospel. How? In their own mother tongue. Any message you cannot preach in your local tongue, you have not understood it. If you cannot break it down in your mother tongue, whether in Pidgin English or in a Bachama language, then it means you have not understood the message. Brothers, Christ did not send me to baptize, but He sent me to go and do what? And preach the gospel, and preach Christ, and not with eye-sounding, eloquent words of human wisdom, so that the cross will not be robbed of His power. Now, because of my time, follow me. For the preaching of the cross, verse 18, how is it to them that perish? It's foolishness. How can you say somebody and died 2,000 years ago, and because he died, we are all dead? Is that reasonable? And you also bring human logic. Let's explain what you are talking about. How can someone who say he died somewhere, let's preach something that is reasonable? I don't say you should not allude to your Jesus. And Jesus is a good man. He's a good philosopher. Eh? He died. We thank God that he died. And let's look at some good virtues that we can learn from Christ. No. We are not just learning some good virtues from Christ. We are learning Christ. Christ himself is God's answer to our generation. His death, are you understanding, is the only way God has devised for you to be delivered. And there is power in that cross. Every time I preach it, I've seen power. I've seen impossible things happen. I've seen the glory of God break forth when we preach Christ and Him crucified. But the preaching of the cross to those that are perishing, it is foolishness. But unto us, and I hope you are part of us, unto us which are saved, what is it? Is the power of God. You know, I'm reading this again and again because many times you have separated power from the cross, from the gospel. So you have thought that somebody could operate power independent of the man of Calvary. Say, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you. And what will that power make you do? You'll be witnesses unto me. That's what power came for. That power is embedded in the gospel. When you preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost, you see power. Don't let me hear you say, brethren, let's put aside our Bible. Please close your Bible now. It's time for power ministration. Then I see you moving on the pulpit. Jacob, baba, yo, bo. What is that drama all about? Whom have you carried anywhere with that? Some say, okay, we are ready now for machine gun prayer. Oh yeah, bring out your gun now. What's the meaning of that? Is it because you are dealing with people who are not thinking? That's why you are a champion. You are a champion among ignorant people. What's the meaning of that? Does Satan hear that kind of more? Does that affect Satan anywhere? When Jesus Christ was confronting Satan, he was doing machine gun. What did he say? It is written. And that was sufficient. What was written is sufficient to conquer Satan. But we are not teaching our brothers the word of God. We are not showing them the power of the gospel. We are telling them one arbitrary power. And they are running from one pillar to post, looking for what is not lost. You are going to join me to pray and say, God, now that you are asking us to preach the sufficiency of Christ, we want to commit ourselves. We want to preach the message, the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? And where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made them foolish, the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All of you listen. God has concluded. He pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Don't think by arguing wisdom with wise people, they will be converted. Maybe you are making a mistake. Don't think that what we need to convert souls is higher criticism. No. What we say souls, the preaching of the gospel, it has pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, he might save those that believe. And for you to know, all of you should read this Bible because it's important. I want you to know that those who believe, they are not simpletons. Those who believe to follow the preaching of the word of God, they are not dropouts. Look at how the Bible put it. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we, what do? We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Did you understand the Bible? Now, just a little, there is this swinging that confronts preachers. It confronts all of us. What is this swing? The Jews, they are asking for signs. So, if you are dangling to the Jews who are asking for signs, they said, don't preach to us here, show us signs. It's not about preaching, bring signs. So, many of us, preachers, we fall into that. We think that what we bring signs is bringing, talking about signs. We think signs will come in our ministry because we are preaching signs. Are you hearing me? Because we are responding to those that are asking for signs. So many times you come to your meeting, instead of preaching Christ, the one that will produce results in their lives, you didn't preach Christ. You're not preaching signs. You are not telling stories about signs. And you are saying, brethren, let me just perform some few signs. These people will settle down. All of you that know, great revival perished when we promoted signs. Please hear me very well. I'm praying that it won't happen to us again. As soon as signs began to happen in our ministry, there's a temptation to dismantle the preaching that brought the signs and begin to do what? To preach the sign. There are very powerful ministries that enter into dryness because, can you imagine that we have a meeting here and because as we prayed, the Lord decided to bless the water. Because you are not able to lay hands on everybody. And the Lord said, okay, just pray into this water and let them go and drink it. My power will go with it. And they went home and drank the water. And terrible diseases disappeared. They came back next week. Sir, did you hear what they said? The water worked, not Jesus. So when they are coming for the meeting, they are not coming for Jesus. They are coming for water. So you see all of them coming with a keg of water. Even if you try to preach, they say, no, 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 leave that preaching. Water. Some will go and sleep when we are preaching. When you are preaching, they just sleep. They say, when the main demand start, wake me up. Did you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus is no more the message, anything else, we derail the move of God. That was what happened. And before you know it, the power finished. It's the same for anything. Any other thing that you preach and it's not Christ, we pollute the message. And it will kill your anointing. And it will make you a mere talker. You will only be talking about past. Are you hearing me? Don't allow what God wants to do in your life. Don't let it die. Signs will follow you. You don't follow signs. Are we together? As you preach Christ, signs will follow you. Barren women will carry their babies. Lepers will be healed. Terminal diseases will be finished. But let it come behind you. Don't bring it to the stage. You are not hearing me? When fire is burning, fire. The principle of keeping your fire fresh. What's the principle? It is to pack out the burnt ashes. The burnt ashes, they were a result of the fire that burnt. Am I right? They were the testimony that fire burnt here. And what did the Bible say you should do? Pack the ashes of your past burning. Pack it away from the fireplace. Go and keep it in a place that is ceremonially clean. There's a place for ashes. Not in the fireplace. There's a place for testimonies. But not at the replacement of the fire. No matter how ashes are good, they are the greatest fire extinguishers. If you go to fire brigade, those that quench fire, one of their major instruments to keep fire is what? Ashes. And if fire is doing great, 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 and you have ashes, even if you are not a fire brigade, and you carry ashes, and you are pouring it, the fire will die. You know why? Fire does not say it's enough. As long as it has something to consume. Are you understanding? But what has been consumed cannot be consumed again. No matter how you gather ashes, you cannot make fresh fire out of ashes. Ashes cannot cook any meat for you. Put your ashes aside. You great men of God, pack your ashes aside from the fireplace. Let's get fresh wood. Fresh consecration. Let's cry to say, Jesus, I am here. Give me that word afresh. What you did before, you can do it again. Please, Lord, give me the fresh word. Let me preach Jesus again. That's how you will remain fresh. I will soon stop. I will be praying for you because I'm your partner in this matter. Until we get to heaven, we have not got there yet. And only those who endure to the end shall be saved. That's why we have to face the matter together. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, all of you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which is mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised, God has chosen. He chose you. And things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Chapter 2 and verse 3. This time, we'll read it from the Amplified Bible. For I resolved. You must make a resolution here tonight. I resolved to know nothing. To be acquainted with nothing. To make a display of the knowledge of nothing. And to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him what? Crucified. Men of old, that's how they resolved. You wonder why Paul preached and his message is still talking. You wonder why God used such men. They wrote ordinary letters. And their letters for over 2,000 years still talk. It's still changing men. Why? The message they preached. The focus they had. The utterance God gave them. Christ and him crucified. Will you resolve with me? That it didn't matter. Big things that people are talking about. It doesn't matter how bogus people are appearing themselves. I resolve to know nothing among you. To be acquainted with nothing. Don't tell me about anything. You hear me, sir? If you really love me and you want me to fellowship with you, don't tell me about any other thing. Tell me about Jesus. Me and you, we have not finished talking about Jesus. I don't say you should not talk politics. Because we are in the world of politics. Abi? But don't let politics take over your pulpit. Nobody shall be saved by politics. It's Christ. And the problem of Nigeria is the Nigerian. And the only person that changes Nigeria from inside is who? Christ. And him crucified. And I am the one. You know, sometimes I don't want to be proud, but I'm proud. I'm proud of the gospel. You see, when I see High Court judges, when I see the High Court judges, and they are coming in their regalia, I say, my Lord, thank you, but I don't envy them. Why? As powerful as the High Court judge is, Supreme Court, he has power to convict and to throw people to prison. But he has no power to save. He has power to dissolve marriages. But he has no power to bring people together. But look at me. Look at me. It pleased God that he put the oracles in my mouth. The word by which men can be saved. And I've seen notorious sinners that nobody knows what to do with them. And God gave us chance just to preach the gospel and they were converted. I have seen top people in government, you know, when they are coming like this, they come in their fana federalia. So you think there's no problem. That is a masquerade coming. That's a masquerade coming. The man inside is suffering. But nobody talks to him. Oh, Your Excellency. Oh, Your Excellency. If he coughed, you will not know that that's tuberculosis troubling him. You say, oh, Your Excellency, you are happy to collect tuberculosis from his mouth. Your Excellency. Why? I won't rob them of their excellencies, but I will pierce their hearts. And when the word of God appears, some ran back behind the stage and said, sir, what would I do? I say, repent. He said, but they don't tell me like this. When I went to church, they will only be celebrating me and they will be asking me to support something. They never told me what my soul needed. I said, forget that. Don't blame those who did not tell you. You are hearing now, isn't it? Knee down. Let's settle the matter. You are the one who thought they cannot be discipled. They can. And you understand it? They have come. They sat in the class reading the Bible. When we say, let us go and line up for food, they have lined up for food. It's the message that you preached. And they are changed. And they go back to their government houses. And we say, this man has changed. This man has changed. Yes. He, Christ, who changes men, has changed them. May God give you strength. So my final verse now, all of you, you will help me now read it. We'll read it together. And brother, please help me flash Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time. But now it is out in the open. 27. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is this. Are you hearing me? This mystery is not complicated. In a nutshell, it's just this. What is it? Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. King James simply said, and the mystery is this. Christ in you. What? The hope of glory. Until Christ is formed in men, there's no hope for glory. Until Christ takes his seat in your heart, you have no glory yet. This is the mystery. Now let me go on reading. Let me read on. He said, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It is that simple. Simple. You don't need to have PhD to understand this. You can have PhD. You can have DD. You know what I call DD? Doctor of Divinity. Anything. But it does not contribute to this mystery. The mystery is simply this. Christ in you. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing God's glory. It is that simple. That is the substance of what? Of our message. Please read on for me. We preach topics. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense. Don't make it complicated, but make it profound. Hallelujah. In the spirit of profound common sense, so that we can bring each person to what? To maturity. And what is maturity? To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. May the Lord help me and you. To be mature is to become basic. People think maturity means sophistication. They say, when he's matured, you'll be flying. No. When you meet a mature man, he becomes basic. You see nothing again around him. Christ, no more, no less. Now, go to verse 29. That is what I am working so hard at, day after day, year after year, doing my best with every energy God so generously gives me. That's what I'm doing. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be known for. I thought that to preach Christ would be monotonous. Never. I thought to be known as a preacher of only one thing, Jesus. I thought that would make me simplistic. But I have found no. Sometimes I want to test it. I said, Lord, and you are taking me to these big academics. And I see them dressed in all their regalia. And they're saying, Brother Billy is going to talk to us. Shouldn't I also embellish something? And they say, no. Put what I put in your mouth. Say it. And almost without any other means to do anything, I stand up and declare Christ. And I saw results. I saw them melting. I saw big theologians say, we've never heard this before. I said, you never heard this? It's the simplest message. He said, no. Maybe because it's too simple, it has become too difficult for some of us to get. May the Lord bless you. May the Holy Spirit move in our midst. May the word of God never depart from your mouth. May you become a worthy witness of this great Savior. May you preach the sufficiency of Jesus, the inerrancy of Jesus, the completeness of Jesus, the totality of Jesus as one who has settled and paid all price. May you have no other message apart from him and him crucified. May everything else you will need in life, May ye emanate from your preaching of Christ. May you know the prosperity that God promised. You know God promised prosperity? Eh? God promised prosperity. Said this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may be careful to observe what is written therein. And in that way, you will do what? You will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. There's prosperity for me. We don't make mouth, but I'm a prosperous man. We don't wear big dress, but we are not wearing rags. We are not sleeping on the street. And we didn't need to make noise about that. Those are the ordinary jara that must follow you when you preach the man of Calvary. Will you preach Christ? Eh? Will you commit yourself and say, there will be nothing again that will interest me apart from Christ and Him crucified? No matter where I am, no matter who I face, give me courage, complete confidence in the gospel, which is the power of God. Is there healing in the power of God? Yes. Is there deliverance in the power of God? Yes. And the gospel is the power of God. The Jews are asking for sign. The Greek are saying, come and prove the wisdom of it. Say, but we who have been saved, we preach Christ and Him crucified. To the Jew, a stumbling block. And to the Greek, foolishness. But to us, the power of God and the wisdom of God. May God bless you. May the Lord encourage you that the sufficiency of the Saviorhood of Christ is because of who He is. And if we preach Him, not diluting, we will see the glory of God in the land of the living. God will bless you. God will encourage you. God will carry you on. Even if you are discouraged, heaven will encourage you today. The power of the Almighty will come upon you. The fresh spirit that started you off in the beginning will come afresh. God will give you fresh utterance. You will see what you saw in the beginning. You will see it again. Please rise as we pray together. The main hand of God will rest upon you. And I want to speak to God for you. You will be in good health so as to carry this message. The Lord will not allow your life to be cut short so as to deliver this message. You will not lose your voice. You will not lose your relevance so that you can preach this message. The Lord Almighty will keep you fresh. His eyes will be upon you. He will breathe upon you from day to day. He will quicken you. He will refresh you. He will energize you. He will send you forth by His power. And through you, there shall be revival again. Men will turn to the Lord and say, we have seen Jesus. So will it be. In the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.